From the studios of Boise State Public Radio, I'm Gemma Gaudette. The Federal Reserve has hiked interest rates. Housing prices are still sky high here in Idaho. And local companies may be feeling the pinch when their employees can't find a place to live. So we wanted to do a deep dive today into these topics with a mid-year economic update from Jason Norris. He is the Executive Vice President of Research at Ferguson Wellman Capital Management Group. He's been on our program before. Jason, good to have you back with us.
It's great to be back. Thanks, Gemma.
Okay, so much to get to Jason. So first, mid-year check-in here. Let's start with this interest rate hike from the Federal Reserve. Can you explain first the reasoning behind why the Federal Reserve is raising interest rates?
So the Federal Reserve is increasing rates primarily because, as we're seeing, inflation is a lot hotter than expected. We knew coming into this year that we would see a bit of inflation and we'd see interest rates moving higher. But what we've seen over the last few weeks really concerned the Federal Reserve, and hence why they increased their short-term interest rate 0.75%, which hadn't been done since 1994. So it showed inflation staying stickier and higher longer, and we were seeing that in housing prices and gas prices too.
So Jason, is the reasoning behind this historically, because I believe we saw this back in like what, the early 70s. I mean, this is, you know, I don't remember this time, but I've read about it, is that if you raise interest rates, you can kind of at least try to bring down some of that inflation or at least level it out. I mean, so is that the reasoning that the Federal Reserve is doing what it's doing?
Yeah, so you're exactly right. So the Federal Reserve wants to increase the cost of borrowing and thus reduce consumption. And so they raise rates, which filters its way through the market. And we've seen that, especially on the housing side. You know, mortgage rates are up 3% from the beginning of the year, from what, 3% to 6%. And so that makes the house of a home, or the price of a home, cost a lot more. So they're just trying to slow demand. And so thus should slow price increases. But unfortunately, the Federal Reserve only has one tool, and that's raising rates. They can't control the price of oil. They can't control the supply chain coming out of China. So while they're doing their best, there's a lot of factors beyond their control.
And you know, let's talk about this 6% interest rate for when we look at homes, because that seems incredibly high in this day and age. But if we go back 40 years ago, 30, 40, 50 years ago, I mean, you saw interest rates at 18, 20, 25%. Is this something do you think we've just gotten used to in having such low interest rates?
Yes. You know, dating myself, the first house I purchased was in 1999, and I believe the mortgage rate on that was 8%. And that was normal. And that was in a healthy economy coming out of the 90s. So we've just got used to, especially post the global financial crisis in 2008, 2009, of abnormally low interest rates, because there's really been low inflation and kind of in lower than average economic growth. And so, in essence, you know, the free money has been there for almost 15 years, and now, you know, that's going away. So for a full generation of consumers, this is sticker shock, and it really increases the price of a home. For example, the mortgage today for the average home in Boise of $600,000 would be $2,900 a month, and on January 1st, that was $2,100. So it's an $800 increase in your monthly payment. So that's going to squeeze a lot of people out of the market as well.
And so with that said, Jason, when we are speaking of interest rates, best advice then for folks who are in the situation of maybe trying to get into a home, but at the same time, when we look at the Treasure Valley, I mean, as you mentioned, it's not just the interest rate going up. I mean, home prices have not leveled out.
Correct. The good and the bad thing about the Treasure Valley is it's a place where people want to be. And so there's a lot of in-migration, and the cost of living is still relatively inexpensive, especially relative to its peers to the west, talking California, Portland, and Washington, or Oregon and Washington. So people still want to be there. So there's that higher than, let's say, usual demand, and supply is still limited. So while the cost of borrowing is higher, the fundamental supply demand dynamics just within the housing market, there's still more demand than supply. So I think we'll probably see prices eventually flatten out in the Treasure Valley, but they're probably not going to decline meaningfully as we saw 15 years ago after the housing crisis.
Right, exactly. So what about the rumblings of a recession, Jason? What when we look at this mid-year check-in, what are you seeing in regards to that?
So our belief is we don't think there's going to be a recession, and if there is, it's going to be very mild. And there's a couple of main factors why we take that stance. Is first, the average consumer is very healthy. While $5-6 gas is painful, most people across the United States have excess savings, a lot more savings than they did a couple years ago, are employed and making more money at their job. It's a lot different than in other environments going into a recession. So while the cost of borrowing is going up and this will hurt in the short term, if the Federal Reserve gets inflation moderating through the end of the year, we believe that consumers will be able to kind of navigate through this and continue to spend. However, if inflation remains higher longer, then eventually that's going to squeeze a lot more people and they will stop spending and lead into a recession. But that's not our base call.
Well, and I think it's interesting too, because we're seeing these price increases everywhere. I mean, for example, I mean, the other day, I went through the drive-thru at Starbucks, and I don't do this all the time, but I mean, I was shocked at what it cost. And so it was kind of the things where it's like, well, I guess I won't be doing that for a while. And we're kind of seeing that everywhere. And I say that, I mean, I have the privilege to be able to just go through the drive-thru and do that. A lot of people do not, Jason. So, I mean, when it's, you know, when we all think like, okay, we're not going to necessarily see a recession. I mean, I'm even looking at my spending being like, I don't really know if that's how I want to spend my money.
Exactly. And that's going to be the kind of call it the threading the needle as we go through this rising rate environment. Is, you know, the average consumer needs to slow down their spending. And so that'll stop the price increases, but they can't stop spending. And so it's going to be really interesting environment. And you know, we're hearing that anecdotally as well. But we'll see what happens. People need to continue to spend. I mean, the good thing is they're employed for the most part and making money. So, but if these prices stay higher longer, then, you know, people will stop buying that coffee. And then that will hurt the economy.
So let's talk about some of these companies that employ Idahoans in particular. We have companies headquartered here in Idaho, three in particular, Simplot, Micron, and Albertsons. How do you see them potentially impacted or affected by these rising interest rates, you know, by consumer spending or lack thereof?
So looking, let's say, on the Albertsons side, you know, the grocery stores in general, you know, are this, you know, kind of quandrum where they're seeing the price of food coming up and the goods they sell. And so it's going to be upon them to either raise prices or try to or keep prices lower in profitability. And coupled with that, they're seeing the cost of labor moving higher. We think the companies like Albertsons will fare okay because people still have to stop for those staples, the food, you know, detergent, and they may just trade down and buy private label. With the likes of Micron, the technology spending and technology evolution has not missed a beat during this, you know, period of concern the last 6 months. Companies are still spending on technology, so are consumers. So Micron seems to be faring very well and continues to hire. So corporate America is doing very well in this environment. And that's another reason we don't think, even if there is a recession, it's going to be very shallow. Because corporate balance sheets and revenue growth continues to be very healthy.
So let's talk about the labor force. We know that We saw, unemployment hit historic lows in May. And I believe that we are back kind of pre-pandemic where we are, where we were in terms of labor. But what does that mean? Because as you said, and we see this all over, is that you're needing to pay employees more. In particular, when we look at where we were pre-pandemic to where we are, 2.5 years later.
You're exactly right. There are currently 5 million more job openings than job seekers. And so that shows it's a very tight labor market, and wages for businesses to attract that labor, we'll have to increase wages. The silver lining in this storm about the inflationary impact is, we saw a lot of people leave the jobs market and, stay out of the labor force. And, maybe they'll come back into the labor force realizing they can make pretty good money and the price of gas is higher. And so if we see more people coming in and filling those jobs, then that will ease the pressure on wages. And that's one of the targets that the Federal Reserve has, is they have stated that the jobs market is way too tight and there has to be some easing of that pressure. And there's a large cushion for the Federal Reserve, just because there are so many job openings, is that they can try to target the jobs market and ease the growth in wages. You don't want to say you don't want wages to go up, but if they're going up too quickly, that still adds to inflationary pressures.
So bottom line for, the average Idahoan, Jason, someone who's maybe making, $40,000 to $50,000 a year, maybe they are supporting a family on that. What best advice for that individual?
The best advice, unfortunately, it's, the cost of living is up meaningfully, and, the rising gas and food prices are going to take a lot higher percent of their monthly budget. We think that eases over time, but unfortunately it's kind of up to what Russia's doing in Ukraine for a lot of that to happen. Mm-hmm. But just to, even if you're invested in the market, still continue to invest. It's been volatile, but if your time horizon is longer term, the best opportunity to buy for longer term investors is when the market's down 20 to 25%, just makes high quality companies a lot cheaper.
Right. And that is the thing, is to figure out, I think, where you are in your jobs career, right? Are you towards the end of that career, or do you have years to go?
Exactly. Yeah. Time horizon is very important. And then also emotionally, don't panic. This is the worst year in history for stocks and bonds at the same time. We've never seen bond values down 10% in 1 year, which we're seeing this year. And so you have stocks down 20% and bonds down 10. I mean, bonds were supposed to be the safe haven. So this is causing a lot more angst with individuals. And so if you're, and rightfully so, but if your time horizon is long enough, stay patient and we'll eventually work its way out.
Well, as always, Jason, good advice. We really appreciate you coming on the show today and chatting with us.
Hey, thanks for having me, and have a great afternoon.
You too. We've been talking with Jason Norris, Executive Vice President of Research at Ferguson Wellman Capital Management Group, about Idaho's mid-year economic forecast.